Before we get into today's episode, I just quickly want to notify you that we have a position open. That's right, today you can join the Stylish Study team. To find out more about this position, just head to stylishstudy.com/jobs and let's get into today's episode.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Stylish Study Show. So today I had the wonderful Christine Scar on and we talked all about how to step into your dream career. Christine has just finished off doing the July masterclass. So if you are really invested in yourself and you really actually want to know how to step into your dream career, step by step, then you can actually go check that masterclass out right now over on www.stylishstudy.com/membership. And if you are a member, just dive straight in and you can get guidance from Christine step by step from idea to actually finding that dream career. So it's a really, really valuable masterclass and I can't wait for you to dive straight into that. But without further ado, let's get on with today's episode.
Welcome to the Stylish Study Show. I'm your host, Ella Harmony, the founder of Stylish Study. This is the podcast for the students who want to achieve their dream grades, have a clear guide to success, and level up to live their best life. I myself went from being miserable with failing grades to reaching my full potential and getting A stars. Today, I'm here to share with you everything I learned along the way, so let's dive straight into this episode.
My name is Christine Scar. I am an interior designer and an architect. I am the director of Kvist Interior Design. I'm super passionate about helping particularly young women getting into the construction industry. I think it's a really important topic to talk about and there are so many ways in. So yeah, I'm delighted to be part of the masterclass this month.
It's so amazing to have you on today. Thank you so much for joining us. This month, you've been our masterclass expert, running our members from start to finish through lots of practical activities on how to find a career they love. For anyone that's not checked out the masterclass, what is the first thing they should do and can do to help them decide on what their possible career could be?
I think the first thing that you need to do is just have a really good look inwardly at what you really enjoy, what you're good at, and then be honest as well about the things that maybe you find a bit more challenging and that, but then bear in mind that that doesn't stop you from doing anything. It just needs to become something that you can address and work on and find a way around sometimes.
Definitely. And I love that in the masterclass, you talk about a SWOT analysis because I think it's so important for people to do. It's only something that I've recently discovered through business, but actually I feel like it's a really great starting point, especially for your future and deciding kind of what sort of skills you have, what skills you'd like to improve, and obviously your strengths, your weaknesses, etc., etc. Just really actually finding a starting point for where you can then improve, develop, and grow as a person. I really think that it's actually something very helpful. Another thing that I found really helpful as well from watching your masterclass was talking about the difference between roles and jobs. I think often we sort of talk about a career, and when we talk about a career, we talk about what job you're going to have, like the job title. But from your masterclass, I've really actually learned that it's more about actually a role. So for anyone listening right now who is not sure on the difference between a role and a job, what is the difference?
Absolutely. So there's a big difference. So a job, to be honest, a job is just a title. So a job can be anything. A job can be doctor, architect, shop assistant, manager. But within any kind of any of those jobs, there are so many different roles. So you can be a doctor and you can do 10 different roles. I mean, probably more. Somebody could be a pediatrician. Somebody could be surgical, and you can do all sorts of things. But even within that, you could have a focus on treating patients. You could have a focus on teaching. And all of those things relate back to the things that you really enjoy and that you're good at. So you can carve out the perfect role for yourself within any job and any career.
For sure. And I think that right now people will be listening and they'll have an inkling maybe of what they want to do in the future. But I also think that there will be an equal amount of people that will have totally no idea. And I feel like at this point in your life, there is a lot of pressure to be knowing what you want to do, especially at school when they kind of ask you, what is it that you want to do, etc., etc. If someone right now is listening to this and they are so confused about what they want to do, what advice would you give to them?
First of all, just don't be overwhelmed by it. Don't like, just stop panicking, have some tea. It's fine. I think that, you know, I think there's definitely so much pressure, isn't there, from adults, colleagues, friends, anyone to know what you want to do in life. And I'm 34, I think. Yeah, I recently had my birthday. You lose count after 20, honestly. And there are still so many things that I don't know what I want to do. And so say you're, you know, 15, 16, maybe you're even younger, and you're feeling this pressure to pick the right GCSEs, A-levels, potentially university, you'll get your first job. Stop worrying about whether that is going to put you into a particular job later on. Just look at what you enjoy doing, and then choose something related to that, something that's going to make you happy, something that might make you a bit of cash, because we accumulate experiences, and it's only through experiencing stuff that we can actually work out what it is we want to be and do. So that would definitely be my advice. Just pick something based on what you enjoy and start, because you can always change and there's no wrong answer.
For sure. And I think that is something that we really like to reiterate at Style Study, is that when you pick your subjects, when you are making decisions in your life, please pick them based on what you enjoy. Obviously, even your dream career is not going to be every day that you wake up and enjoy every single task. That's quite a dangerous narrative to portray. But overall, you should just be doing what you enjoy. There are so many ways nowadays to actually make money with different things. And that is the beauty of kind of this new internet age as such. And if you pick what you enjoy, I feel that you just stay aligned with everything that you enjoy. And like I said, you can make money from so many different things. I'm sure that there will be some kind of role within what you enjoy that you can actually monetize and you can make money from. I think it's so important that you also not just think about the cash, but you think about your enjoyment, and remember that things that you enjoy, things that you are passionate about, you will actually be more inclined to put in more work, then you'll actually get further. So for example, if you're someone that really enjoys being creative and you really want to do something along the creative lines, but you then say, oh, I'm going to be a stockbroker because I perceive that I can make more money through that, you could just be a very average stockbroker and actually not be hitting the millions and not be hitting that big financial goal that you've got, because you don't want to put in that hard work, that dedication and that time, because you absolutely loathe what you're doing. If you then went for the creative route and you were really enjoying things and you were really waking up every day feeling really inspired and really loving your role and your job, you are then going to want to put in that extra time. You're then going to actually want to put in more hours and actually refine your skills and be really passionate about it. So I think that when you are thinking about like roles and careers and jobs, it's really important just to be enjoying things. You want to create a life that you do enjoy. And whilst money is important, like I've reiterated 1,000 times, you can make money from lots of different things nowadays that aren't just the professions that actually make the money. So really just stay aligned with what you enjoy.
I mean, you can go to uni later. You know, I think everyone assumes that it's a stepping stone. You know, you go from primary to secondary to college to A-level to uni. But I mean, let's be honest, half of us do it because that's what the done thing is. And I think actually COVID has questioned a lot of that, which has been kind of healthy. I think university, you should be at university because either you really want to be there, or because it's a subject that you really are passionate about and you want to do. And some career paths do require a degree. You know, I think even subjects like architecture are looking into diversifying and going, enabling the apprenticeship route, which I think is great. But some of them are still, you know, some still do require you to go to university, but that doesn't mean you need to go at 17, 18. So, you know, don't overthink it. Definitely. I mean, so when I was doing my A-levels, I didn't do maths and physics. They were just not subjects that I was particularly strong at, and they were not subjects I really enjoyed. So I, for example, did business studies because I'm really into business. I think it's really interesting, but also there's quite a bit of maths and logical thinking in it. And that was fine for me. It was just when I came to sitting a maths exam, I mean, I might as well be colouring in. I had no idea what I was doing. whereas actually the same sort of principles applied in business studies were no problem for me. And that was because of the way you think and the environment it was in. But then I got really worried when I came to doing my personal statement, because I wanted to do architecture at uni. And from speaking to some friends, speaking to some parents of friends, I had this preconception that there was no way I was going to get in without those subjects. And I picked up, I think it's the UCAS guide, isn't it? And actually, I sort of opened a few of them, and it said, you know, maths and physics. And I didn't read any further, because that just reconfirmed a preconception that I had, and I ditched it. I still wanted to do something related. I spoke to my careers advisor, and she said, well, okay, well, if you can't do that, what about something else like interiors or interior architecture? Which I think I mentioned in the maths class is ironically what I've come full circle to do. And so I wrote that application on that basis. But at the time I was feeling a bit, I suppose I was feeling a bit down about it, because I was like, but I really wanted to do architecture and I think I'd be a really good architect. And it was the night before the deadline for the UCAS submission, I was talking to my dad, and he said, well, did you actually call any universities and ask? I said, well, no, you know, because I think at that age, that's a really daunting thing to do. And in the morning I did, I called the three universities I was really keen on, and the admissions people were lovely. They were so nice. And one of them put me through to the head of department, and they were really relaxed. And they just said, look, if you have a real passion for this subject and you feel like you've got the skills needed to do it, not the subjects, but the skills, then we want to hear from you. You know, you'll be evaluated alongside the other candidates, of course, but just put in your submission. So I don't think I've ever written anything so fast, but luckily it was easy because I was really passionate about it. So I rewrote my entire application on the deadline day and submitted it. And I got two conditional offers for architecture, and here I am. So yeah, don't be pigeonholed, for sure.
I think as well that also in terms of your career steps, obviously you have further education, et cetera, et cetera. And I was going to go to uni, and I was really picking between sort of three different subjects. So I wanted to do fashion design, like fashion design and marketing. I also wanted to do social media marketing, and I also wanted to do business. And for me, I felt more comfortable with business because I thought, oh, that's more profession. That's going to end up in like a better job, like cash, etc. And then fashion marketing, oh, that's a clear career. You have clear things that you go on the stepping ladder for, and you build your way up with very specific job titles. And with social media, that was more of kind of a grey area. Whilst nowadays social media obviously is a lot bigger than it ever has been before, and it is a growing industry, it's still kind of a bit of a grey area. But actually, I decided that uni and the process of uni and my feelings towards uni weren't right for me. And I think that's a really great thing to actually discover, that maybe it's not right for you, and not just go along with the societal thoughts of you should do this, you have to do this, that this is the only way through, because nowadays it's not. And actually, I am doing everything that I would have been achieving at uni through my role now, through my job now. And I think that is real testament to actually you don't have to go to uni to succeed to do things. Obviously, I don't have a degree, so for certain things I wouldn't qualify maybe to get the job, but you can always ask. That is kind of like a con of that. And I just didn't do the academic stuff. I'm way more creative. Yeah, it's just a real testament of go with what you love and you will find your path, I think. And actually just kind of forgetting about what everyone else thinks and what society says you should do, because this is a new age, this is a new world, and there are so many more possibilities.
Definitely. And, you know, I mean, obviously everybody gives advice with best intentions, but I think whether it is something somebody's told you or whether it's something that's like written in a UCAS guide, even if it's in print, treat it as a guide. Yeah. You know, that, like, just keep that in mind. Just be like, this is only here for guidance, because to be honest, they've got to put something, otherwise everyone would have architecture is the first one in the book because it starts with an A, so they've got to have something in there to kind of, you know, funnel people. But that doesn't mean that it's an absolute black and white boundary. So I think, because also when you're just coming out of school, you're in an environment where you're very much taught and people kind of guide you quite and steer you quite heavily. And that's great and that's appropriate. But actually, once you come out of that, unfortunately, the lines are always grayer, they're always blurrier. But you've got to see that as an opportunity. That means that if you want to ask a question, if you want to do something, just ask and always go direct to the person who actually has the decision-making power. So I don't know if you ever watched The Apprentice, but for example, it's like, you know, imagine they've walked into a shop and they need to negotiate a deal. And they spend the first 15 minutes negotiating with the person behind the counter. And the guy behind the counter is like, yeah, 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 absolutely, we can do this. And then it turns out he has no negotiating or decision-making power. And then he refers you to the manager and they say no. Go to the manager. Everyone's human. They're probably going to be lovely. But don't waste your time being influenced by someone who's got best intentions but actually isn't in the right place to support you with the information.
Yeah, definitely. I think once you leave school, I found this for myself actually within the last year, that you have so many options. Like, you can do anything, obviously, within reason. There is just so much to choose from. And I think that can get really confusing as well. As much as the freedom is amazing, it can definitely get really scary. And you're like, oh, what's the right thing to do? Constantly questioning yourself. So I feel like, first of all, you have to give yourself a bit of slack. Like, you are young, you don't have to have everything figured out right now. Like, this is a tiny section of your life. You're only just into the world. Like, give yourself some time to breathe. But one thing that I'm really trying to do with myself personally as well, and I think that I would offer this advice to anyone that asked about it from me, is please just ask. If you don't ask, the answer will always be no. And I think at this point in life, if you really want to make something of your life and you want to make it absolutely incredible, please just ask and make those opportunities for yourself. Yes, in life, opportunities will be presented to you, but sometimes the best ones are the ones that you've carved out yourself. So for me, I'm constantly asking loads of people to help me or like collaborate with me. And most of the time I'm like, oh my goodness, these people will never want to do that. Like, I have not done enough work for that, etc. And 9 times out of 10, actually, I get some emails back and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, wow. If I hadn't just asked, the answer would have continued to be no. So in life, please, 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 in terms of jobs, in terms of careers, in terms of roles, in terms of everything that you're doing, if you want something or if you want an opportunity, etc., etc., just ask, because most of the time it's gonna be hopefully a yes. And if it's not, there are so many other companies and so many other people that might say yes. So if there is something that you want to do, maybe it's like a role or something in your career, maybe you don't even use this information now, maybe use it in 10 years time. If there is an opportunity that you want and you think would be absolutely amazing for you, please go to that right person, the person that's kind of like in charge, and just ask them and just see. And maybe they say no, maybe they say come back in 6 months. Maybe they say, oh, we can't offer you this, but have you thought about this? And it's a slightly lower down role. If you don't ask, the answer will always be no. And I feel like the most successful people actually carve out these opportunities and these chances for themselves because they just ask. So it may be really scary, but asking for things that you want, it doesn't make you like pushing your way through the door. It doesn't make you being pushy. It doesn't make you like, it just opens up doors that may have been closed because people don't always necessarily know that you want that opportunity. So where you can, please just ask people. If you can just present your skills and present why you want this particular thing, the only thing that can happen is you're back in the same position. The worst thing that's going to happen is they say no. And then what are you, literally in the same position that you were? If they say yes, or they say maybe not now, or they say, have you thought about this? That is a different opportunity that has opened a door for you. And I think that that is something that we need to be practicing and not sleeping on, that we can create our own opportunities.
That's one of the things that we cover in that masterclass, is it's kind of giving you that script to go in with, because so don't forget, you know, you might be younger than the person you're speaking to, but your time is also valuable. So when you go in there, pitch it to them, pitch why you'd be great for this role, and also what that role will do for you. You know, don't allow yourself to be treated as a dog's body just because you're younger. You've always got something to add. You're going to have an outlook and a set of skills that that person doesn't have. And yeah, so kind of go in with it with enthusiasm. And like you said, if you shut it down before you've even asked, then it's a definite no. If you ask and it's a no, before you then give up again, rephrase the question. Always rephrase the question. You might know that like from social media and things. If you put something out there and you get no response, half the time, if you change the title, suddenly it flies off the shelves. So do that, rebrand yourself for a minute, see if that gets any bites. And then if not, pursue something else. That's not giving up, that's just changing direction.
We were talking about this in the masterclass in terms of your role in companies, and if something doesn't quite fit or you don't get the yes from that company, there are so many other companies that you can reach out to nowadays to actually get that open door from. So if it doesn't come from one place, you can always ask again at maybe a different place, maybe a different time, maybe even a different person to get that door opened. So if you get turned away by one place, it doesn't actually mean that you aren't good enough or that the next door won't be open for you.
Definitely go and talk to a few, even if it's the second and third one as well, that don't feel quite right. If you feel that you've got it right, learn from the experiences you had. You can still tweak and then keep pursuing it for a while. But you can also pursue other things in parallel. So if you feel like, you know, say for example, for you, you know, if you felt that social media was your calling and you'd approached a few social media companies and they weren't receptive, it might be that in a social media context, you haven't yet built up the experience that makes them want to hire you then and there. So go for a totally different company that maybe is weaker at social media, where your skills have more value, and then you can do the social media for them. You know, it's just, so don't always pigeonhole the job title and the company type. You know, go and ask your local post office if they need help with some branding and some social media for their shop. And then you get to do what you're great at, what you enjoy, build up a portfolio, and then you can go back to those companies later with a bit more in your arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why we encourage so much work experience and so much volunteering, because you may not actually be going straight into that role that you want, but you're building the steps, you're building the stepping stones. And the more stuff that you can do like for free now, when you don't necessarily need the money to pay your bills, etc., the more you are going to have such an advantage when you get older and you need that, because people as well are looking for experience. I think that sometimes people think, oh, you just need the A's and you need the degree, etc., etc., to get a job. But I think a lot of the time people look at experience, like, what have you done before? Like, how have you helped other people? And that is a real great way to build up that experience and to actually get your foot in the door, because if you're working for free, you are going to be much more likely to actually get that position and actually be able to be utilized. Because even if you're rubbish, and even if you decide that role you hate and it's not for you, they're not actually paying you. So they're not losing anything. They're just getting a bit of help. So sometimes it's harder to get your foot in the door with paid roles, but with free roles, with volunteering when you can at the moment, when you don't need the money, you just would like the money, I think that's a great way to actually, like I say, get your foot in the door, get your step up on the ladder. And also don't forget that people that are sat in those high rise buildings, that are the CEOs, that are the marketing experts, that are the top builders, that are the doctors, that are all those top jobs that are really senior, they have all been a student before. They have all started from the bottom. They have all have to work their way up. Now, I know sometimes you see overnight successes, but you have to remember that that is the overnight success part that you have seen. You haven't seen all those years of hard work, determination, hard graft that's actually gone on behind the scenes. So you have to remember that everyone has started from nowhere. Everyone's had to put in the hours, put in the time, put in the work to actually build up their career and get up there. And the more that you can start this early, more fast track your success is going to be. So say, for example, today you started volunteering at an RSPCA shop, charity shop. So you did that to get your foot in the door because you want to be a vet. You have your foot in the door at that company and you're volunteering your time and you're working, what, like 4 hours a week maybe just to volunteer. Then you see that there is an opportunity opened up to be an RSPCA dog walker. Now you've got your foot in the door actually working with animals, having that experience. Maybe then you have the responsibility, there's another role opening up for someone to be an assistant caretaker of animals or something, I don't know. These are just examples flying out my head. But then you work your way up to be that vet and you've got your foot in the door right from the get-go. Now, if you aren't sure on your profession or what you want to be when you're older, just try out anything. All the roles and all the things that you will be volunteering for now, all the experience you'll be gathering, will help your skills, will help you refine your skills and just improve them. So anything that you can get now, any foot in the door that you can get is an amazing bonus. I think as well, it's just so important that you constantly push yourself in terms of all of this stuff. It may be scary getting that volunteering or going to get some work experience or just even calling up the company, and I do appreciate that, and I am totally all the time in my life when I know that I am growing, it's terrifying. And I think that's good to know as well, that other people are in your position, that growth is scary but it's also amazing.
If it's not scary, then you're not being brave enough. Yeah, it's definitely. As simple as that. I am terrified every single day of my life. And you know, I'm the boss, I call the shots, and that's a blooming scary place to be, but it feels good at the same time. You know, I decided to take that role on for myself, but yeah, it is really daunting when you're just coming out of school, when you're feeling like this is kind of the whole world is your oyster, and when you kind of have been working for a while because you've experienced some things, you know, it's like you're standing in that game show in the spotlight with a million doors in front of you and you feel the weight of opening the wrong door. You know, that's what I felt like. And you feel like, okay, well, if I open that one, suddenly the 999 other doors are going to close. Any door you go through opens another door, but quite often they link back to the other routes. And all you need to have that you're focused on is what you enjoy, what skills you want to develop at any given time. And also what we talk about in the final session in the masterclass is your personal why, what it is that you as an individual want to achieve in your life. What's the environment that you want to create for yourself? And if you can be clear on that, and then that gives you direction and you can always tweak it, you can always change your route, but at any given time, any moment, if you know why you're doing something, then that gives you a purpose and that gives you the permission, I think, to close the other doors or at least kind of push them a little bit shut.
So for students listening that are just about to start sixth form, or maybe they're in sixth form, or maybe they're at uni and they're looking to get their first job, I know I got my first job when I started sixth form, just to earn some extra money, what would you say to anyone that is looking for their first job and what should they do to prepare?
Work out why you want it. I mean, half the time it's just for a bit of cash, right? It's not going to be career defining. My first job was at Loch Fyne Oysters as a waitress, and you know, the things I got out of it were not the reasons I got the job. I got the job because I wanted some money. But instead, I learned a lot about working as a team and organizing and all those things. So my advice for getting your first job is just to go in and be who you are. Be personable, be polite and be well-dressed and turn up on time. You know, these are kind of basic things. Which might feel like a little thing, but if you don't do them, it becomes a huge thing. And so do those and then just turn up with a smile and be ready to be shown the ropes. It's okay to go in there and not know how to serve a burger. They'll show you.
And linking on from that, in week 3's masterclass, it was all about actually how to find your job. We pieced together all the information from week 1 and 2 to find our perfect fit. In that masterclass, you also spoke about how you found your jobs and how important a good attitude is, saying that if someone came to your doorstep asking for a job, prepared and knew what role they wanted, you'd give them a position even if you weren't necessarily looking to hire anyone. How important is having and implementing that initiative for when our listeners decide they want to get a job, and why does that make someone stand out?
Much of this is right place, right time, which I'm saying because that's not something you can control. You do not know what anybody's pain point in a company is at any point. But if you just rock up, whether they've got an advert written on their website or not, and you say, look, this is me, this is what I'm looking for, this is how I can help you with the skills that I have, and this is how I want to grow. So if you take me on, I'm motivated to grow in this way. I think that's better than 99% of applicants. But also, if you are knocking on a door when they haven't asked you to, either they'll turn you away or you will get 100% of their attention. If you are one of 50 CVs, you will have no more than 3 seconds to impress. So just do it. They may say, I don't have anything for you now, but they might call you back in 6 months' time.
Yeah, and I think the way the application processes work now, most of it's online. You don't even hand your CV in anymore. And I think that just showing up, putting your face actually in front of someone really just shows the initiative. It really shows that you actually want it and that you're willing to actually put yourself out there. And that's what people want in their company as well, like when they're hiring people. Like, I know for me, I really want people that have that initiative, that they know what they're about to do, that they can really just make some real moves for the company. I think seeing someone that wants to pave their own opportunities and that does want to work hard and that does want to achieve things as well is just really attractive in a person, especially for an employer. So if you're someone that can show that initiative by actually getting there, and even it shows that you are willing to just put yourself out there, put yourself out of your comfort zone and really grow as a person. Because we all know that that's a bit scary. We all know that you are probably really terrified, but it's just amazing to show that you are willing to put yourself out there for the opportunities because you are really wanting to actually improve.
Employers get FOMO as much as everybody else. I get massive fear of missing out. If somebody knocks on my door and they are an ideal candidate and I wasn't looking for anyone, my first thought is going to be, God, they'd be really great in my company. I should hire them in some capacity now so that somebody else doesn't. Because I can be sure that when then I advertise, they're busy. So people get like, employers are human as well. Just play to that, relate to it, talk to them as though they're a human, not some sort of person on a pedestal who's deciding your entire life, because they're not. Because if you join and you don't like it, you can leave. they don't have any power over you in that respect. They are there to support you. They are obviously there for you to do a job for them. But as long as there's mutual respect in that and understanding, it's there to serve both of you. And that's how you should see it, as much as them.
And lastly, what steps can our students take now to make themselves more employable in the future?
First of all, do the masterclass. But I think do the masterclass. And the reason for that is that it will help you just be aware of your own strengths and weaknesses. I think that's really important because it stops you giving a gimmicky, off the sort of scripted answer when you speak to an employer. Authenticity is the most important thing. So be authentic. But the thing you can do right now is just go out and talk to somebody in any career about their role. Ask them what the nitty-gritty of their job actually is, because I think it'll open your eyes to the fact that they're not just a receptionist or a salesperson. They are somebody who starts their day by making tea for everyone. Then they make this number of phone calls, which involves, you know, setting up an appointment. You get to understand actually what they do. And so when you then do have that first interview, that gives you something to talk about. You can talk about the activities, your skills, and the role that you'd like to fill, rather than just, I want to be a racing car driver. And somebody looks at you like, okay.
Thank you so much for chatting with us today. And thank you so much for your amazing masterclass called Step Into Your Dream Career. It's really so invaluable, all the lessons that Christine talks to us in here. It's really, really helpful. And I myself have actually learned quite a lot about the careers and how to actually find one that's really amazing for you. If you are not a member, but you want to check it out, you can head to www.stylishstudy.com /join membership. And if you're already a member, you can head on over to the membership hub where you can check out Christine's masterclass. This has been such a helpful episode, and I cannot wait for people to go and check out your masterclass for a full start to finish on how to step into your dream career. I know it's going to be so helpful to so many students. So thank you so much for joining us today, and I can't wait for everyone to go check it out.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and good luck, everybody. You'll be absolutely fine. Just go for it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think by leaving us a review. And for more fun, make sure you follow us on our socials at stylishstudy_ and head to stylishstudy.com/free-ebook. That's stylishstudy.com/free-ebook for your free guide to grade boosting success. Catch you next week.